Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Michelle Silverthorne, a recognized organizational diversity expert and speaker. Her new book is Authentic Diversity, How to Change the Workplace for Good, Providing Tools to Successfully Transform Stalled Inclusion Efforts. Michelle, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, certainly looking forward to hearing from you and timely information, especially with the things that we're going through in these regards. So tell us, for starters, Michelle, what inspired you to write this new book, Authentic Diversity? Anything of late, or was it just a coincidence?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I have a lot of stories that I share in my book about, you know, why I wanted to do this. But the real story that is also the reason I started my company, Inclusion Nation, is a conversation I had with a young Black woman who was asking me, she was a student, and she was asking me, when will I be allowed to be Black and still succeed? And I'm telling her, you know, all you have to do is, if you just change yourself, if you just, you know, you change your hair and your accent and your clothes and your way of talking, all the ways that we often tell minorities and women, if you just lean in and you change everything about yourself, you can succeed. But then you look at the stats and you look at the numbers, and you don't just look at the entry-level numbers, right? You look at the representation numbers at leadership. We have been preaching the same story over and over and over again. Let's change the narrative. And so when I write about authentic diversity, I am talking about, if you are bringing in all of this really great talent, right, at the entry level, if you want them to stay and succeed, then let them be diverse. Let them use their differences and their values and their ways of working and create a workplace that doesn't just allow everyone in, but actually allows everyone to succeed. And so when I talk about authentic diversity, that's what I'm talking about.
And of course, we certainly appreciate your bringing attention to this. And on this program now, what do you think organizations keep failing at diversity?
I think the biggest challenge for a lot of organizations is that they don't have any goals in mind, right? We always think, I mean, there's a bunch, but my biggest one is we always think about goals as quotas, right? So we don't like quotas. We don't like people telling us, if you don't hit this target number, then you failed, right? No. What I want you as an organization to do is look at your data. And when you look at your data and you see the disparity between who you're bringing in, even if you're interviewing them in the first place, you need to figure out where you want to go. Like, what does the goal look like to you? What does progress look like to you? Write that down. Put that down. Make it transparent. Even better, make it public. And then what you're going to do as an organization is that you are going to work toward those goals. And every step along the way needs to have objectives. It needs to have tasks. It needs to have people, especially leaders, who are held accountable for that. And then when you hit those different targets, when you hit those different goals, right? So for example, if your goal is you would like to increase the Black representation in your C-suite, great goal. Let me talk about how you're going to get there. What are the different steps that you have to take to get there? As you hit all of those steps, you know, it might take you a long time. It's not going to happen overnight. Then you can share with people, this is where we are and this is where we are going. So from my perspective, the number one thing is you got to have goals and you have to have a trajectory towards those goals. And there are a number of other ones that I list in my book, but I would love organizations to start with the data and not just the numbers, but data are people's stories and their experiences and their lived experiences in your company.
Of course, your book is titled Authentic Diversity. What does the authentic part of authentic diversity mean?
There's always this assumption, right? That authenticity means that, you know, everyone just brings in all their differences and it's just going to be chaos and conflict. And, you know, you are this person and you can wear this and you can do this. And if you actually look at what the real meaning of authenticity is, it's the way that you interact with other people, how you belong as part of a community, how you have your values, because all of us have different values. And a lot of us work in workplaces that don't necessarily aren't centered on those values, because as someone who is a Black woman, I can say that most of the workplaces in America were never designed with someone like me in mind, never designed to have someone like me in charge. So if I am bringing in my different values, you have your different values, where is the space for those values to interact? Where is the space where I feel like I can belong and succeed? Where is the space that you as a leader can look at me and say, I'm going to be the leader that lets her tackle projects differently than I would, or handle team assignments differently than I would, or receive and deliver feedback differently than I would? Because if we're just expecting everyone to enter our workplaces and be the same, then we're not going to be able to meet all of the different challenges that are waiting for us in the future, and especially over the last 4.5 months. When I have seen so many organizations turn to emergency pivot mode, oh my goodness, we had never prioritized this before and we never had the budget, but amazingly, now, shockingly, we all have the budget for this. Don't be in emergency mode. Actually put into place systems that will allow people to really realize that if I come into your company is a space that recognizes that we don't all have to be the same to succeed. And it's not just a matter of what clothes I'm wearing, how my hair is, sure, that's a part of it. But it's really a matter of what are my authentic values as a worker, as a contributor, as someone who is a boss and a leader, and how can we make sure that's part of the success as well. So all of the other things I talk about, bias and race and privilege and understanding that this is not all about marriage, it's a lot about who you know, that all ties into how we can create an authentic workplace that works for everyone.
Really appreciate your joining us to cover this. Really good information so far today. We're joined by Michelle Silverthorne, a recognized organizational diversity expert and speaker. Her new book is Authentic Diversity, How to Change the Workplace for Good, providing tools to successfully transform stalled inclusion efforts. And she's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Michelle, how have the protests changed how organizations are thinking now about diversity?
That's a great question. And what I've realized with the protests, I mean, I tell people, you know, because of COVID, because so many events were canceled, so many DEI professionals were furloughed, there was, I'm going to try and how I phrase this nicely, a decision that DEI is not a priority for a lot of companies. And then the weeks after George Floyd was murdered, the weeks after May 25th, I tell folks I went from maybe 2 or 3 calls the week before to 400. 400 requests for proposals, 400, Michelle, can you come in and talk about this? Can you handle this? Can you address this? Can you design a strategy for this? So how it's changed from my perspective is twofold. One, there is a lot more urgency and a lot more demands around diversity, equity, and inclusion. But there's also a recognition that because the protests have centered so much on anti-Blackness and race when it comes to Black people, this recognition that your Black employees in your company have been saying the same things for years. They have been talking about how they need transparency and competencies and champions. They have been talking about how they need access to the quality work. They're talking about how they need to overcome the biases that exist that are demonstrated against their success. They have been talking about this for years. What's different now is that companies are listening and leaders are listening, and they're not just saying, oh, that's a problem to have, let me pass it on to someone else. What I have now are leaders who call my phone themselves. I have CEOs who call me themselves and say, I am committing to this effort. And because that's what I really want. I really want people who listen to your Black employees, listen to what they are saying. And then when they say the same things that they've been saying for a long time, this is what we need. Let's work at creating policies that can help that. Because here's the thing about justice. It isn't pie, right? You don't get a tiny piece, and this group doesn't get a tiny piece, and this group doesn't get a tiny piece. We reform the workplace, we create justice for everyone. And if COVID has shown us anything, it is that when you put the ingenuity of the American workforce to work, then we can create systems that will make spaces better for people. And that's what I want companies to continue doing, using that innovation, using that emergencies that they faced in the past 7 months, using that to create new systems for diversity, equity, and inclusion as well.
Another question for you, Michelle. What 3 actions would you like organizations to take that can improve the retention of BIPOC professionals?
Yeah, that's a great phrase, right? BIPOC. So those of you who are listening and who don't know what BIPOC is, so BIPOC is Black and Indigenous people and people of color, right? There's a couple commas in there. And the reason folks use the phrase BIPOC is because it's a way to recognize that when you say the phrase people of color, that doesn't necessarily recognize the different journeys and the different histories that Black and Indigenous people have had. I think the phrase is incomplete I don't think you should then just lump all people of color into a people of color section, but it's getting somewhere. It's achieving something. So what I will say for companies, 3 things I want them to do. First of all, I want you to look at your data. Everyone thinks they're doing better on diversity than they are, or they think it's a different problem, right? So that's why you will hear, and I won't name any names, but you'll hear the CEOs of certain companies say, we have a pipeline problem. We have a recruiting problem. But when you look at your data, you realize that you don't have a recruiting problem. You recruit really diverse classes. The problem is in 4 years or 5 years, they're not getting promoted. They're not staying. They are staying in place. So what is that reason? What is your retention reason? And so I want you to look at the data when it comes to assignments, when it comes to the projects, when it comes to who people worked with, and really paint a really great and robust picture of where your company's equity efforts are. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I want you to work at creating a community for your BIPOC employees, because it is really hard to be the first. It is really hard to be the only. And it is really hard to be both of those in situations where you don't see people like you at the top and you don't see people like you succeeding. So what does that community look like? A lot of companies create employee resource groups. Are they resourced? Are they actually used for the employee's benefit, or are they just there for the company's benefit? Are you using these ERGs as your free diversity consulting arm, like a lot of them have been doing these past few months? I want you to really think about the point of these ERGs is to help create a space for your minority employees that does not necessarily exist in the spaces that they are in right now. So work on that. And then the last thing to do, as you're looking at the systems, as you're looking at the bias that exists in the systems, still allow people to succeed. I want us to have sponsors. I want us to have champions. I want us to have advocates. Really design a system in your organization that says, you know, your white male employees, your white male executives, your white male leaders, who are the majority of the leaders, are going to deliberately and intentionally ensure that the employees that are excluded from success, not due to qualifications, not due to the fact that they aren't performing as well, but due to the fact of bias and due to the fact that their names aren't spoken of in rooms, are actually championed as well. So those are the three things I would really, really love that organizations and companies continue to do to ensure that we have a robust pipeline from start through all the way through the C-suite.
Really some great coverage there, and thanks for your input there. Now, people often say anti-racism trainings and diversity trainings don't work. What do you say in response to that?
I say they don't work if you don't have your goals in mind. You cannot just have a training and then expect the training to change anything, because a training in of itself can only play a role if you have a strategy around it. So what are you going to do? I mean, I love my trainings. I love when I talk to people. They buy in. They have energy. They're hyped. They want to do something. So give them something to do. Say that the next thing that we are going to do after the training is review this system. And once we review this system, let's have a training that talks about how you can adopt to that new system. If you are just going to come in and do a training and then leave, that's not going to achieve difference. And it's going to make people frustrated because they are going to be told that, okay, well, you know, here are all the problems I listed out, but there are no solutions. So when I do my work and when I do my trainings, my goal is solutions. I'm going to be frank. You can spend a long time trying to get to the root of someone's behavior. You can get a long time, spend a long time trying to, you know, dive into bias and talk about bias and talk about all. You can spend a while doing that. Or you can say, here are systems that work. Here are actions that you can take to change it. I don't know the root causes of every single person who's sitting with me, but I can tell you what I would like this workplace to look like. I can tell you what I want you to do with me. I can tell you how I want you to stand up and speak up and be a champion of change. There's a great comic strip, which there's a man who's standing at a podium and he says, you know, who wants change? And everyone raises their hands, right? But then he asks people, who wants to change? And no one raises their hands. I want people to raise their hands. And that's the work of my work. My work is to get them to raise their hands and know, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can be a champion of change. Here's where we are falling short, and here's what we are going to do next. And that is how I think trainings can be successful.
Michelle, we certainly appreciate what you're doing in the space and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Of course, your book, again, is Authentic Diversity, How to Change the Workplace for Good. Where can listeners get more information on the book, on yourself, and where can they actually pick up the book?
Oh, they can find me anywhere. There's internet access, right? You can pick up the book at Amazon or any local owned bookseller who is selling it online. And if you want to follow me on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, my username is @InWithMichelle. And you can always visit me at MichelleSilverthorne.com. I love having visitors. I love having people reach out, and I'd love to talk to you.
And that certainly sounds easy enough. Again, Michelle, all the best. And thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure anytime. We've been speaking with Michelle Silverthorne, a recognized organizational diversity expert and speaker. Her new book is Authentic Diversity: How to Change the Workplace for Good, Providing Tools to Successfully Transform Stalled Inclusion Efforts. And for further information or for details or for contact, visit michellesilverthorne.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.